God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Got a great interview for you right now with the general manager of New Vision FM, Missy Hightower. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome into this interview, friends. My name is Jason Azurik, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I so appreciate you being with me here for the program. For this interview, friends, my guest today, her name is Missy Hightower. How are you doing, Missy?
Hi, Jason.
Hi,
I'm great.
Great. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're able to do this interview. And Missy, you are the general manager at New Vision FM in Ohio, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And you've been at that position for how long now?
A couple years now. Okay. I've been here actually for 6 years, stepped into the role of assistant general manager, mm-hmm. and then general manager for the last year and a half.
Okay. All right. So yeah, last year and a half, general manager here. And so your life has, you know, just stayed the same, right?
Well, not entirely.
So you know, God willing, you have this new position, and then 2020 hits and the whole world goes crazy. But you've been married now. You and I have off air talked a little bit about just the importance of marriage and our roles and things like that. But you've been married for, well, pretty much as long as my wife and I have been married. I thought you were before us, but come to find out, August 1997, 2 days right after we got married.
That's right.
And so that's awesome. So you and your husband, Chuck's his name.
Yep.
He's a wonderful guy.
He is.
And, you know, you two have been married for, well, that long. It's quite a while, as we both know. But, hey, that's the way it goes. And when you and I were... Oh, I think it was almost a month ago now. We were just talking about marriage and how it's going. And what really kind of, at least what I remember, what kind of was fueling our conversation. Again, unless you've been living under a rock, friends, you know, 2020 brought some really big changes, really big challenges, I think is maybe a better word. Not just into the world, but into families, into marriages, and we've been talking about just struggles that we've been seeing, not only in other people's marriages, but, you know, heck, even in our own, just challenges going on.
That's right, Jason. And for me, it's just so comfortable and comforting, you know, with Chuck being on board, your wife being on board with us having this conversation, mm-hmm. because they absolutely bless that.
Yeah,
is that we talk about real life stuff, mm-hmm. that a lot of people aren't talking about.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And, you know, for those of you tuning in, especially husbands and wives, and I'll even say this, if you are not married, but you're moving into, you know, a relationship that's getting more serious, I'll put it that way, and maybe, you know, you're going to move to being a fiancé and things like that, I really want to encourage you maybe to just stay with us here and just pay attention, because there are some things Missy and I were talking about and just sharing that I think will encourage you. I think the Lord and the Holy Spirit has just been working on, well, our families and our lives, our ministries, right? Is that fair to say?
For sure, absolutely.
And so we were talking about just, you know, the importance of husbands and wives' roles and how some marriages, again, how they, it's just heartbreaking. They're not making it. They're divorcing, they're splitting up, and then after a while, being split up, they're getting divorced, things like that. And we were just sharing, you know, it's difficult, but we need to stay in the fight, if you will.
That's right, and encourage each other. Mm-hmm. And really, that's the main reason that I, you know, accepted your invitation for this interview today, because if we can encourage one person, of course, we pray for many more.
Right.
But if we can make a difference in that one person, because quite possibly, you know, when we were walking through, mm-hmm. and it's a daily walk, but when we were going through those times that we're going to talk about today, oh, how it would have been just lovely to have that one person come alongside us and say, I get it. I'm there. Let's talk about this.
Oh, absolutely. And it It's kind of, I don't want to say funny, that's the wrong word, but it's just so awesome how the Holy Spirit works. Last summer, my wife and I had decided, you know what, we're going to do a Bible study at our home. And I think it was, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks we met, and we went through the book of Colossians, which is just so great. I mean, that's a total God thing. And we, you know, I can share this openly, and, you know, our listeners will know. My wife and I, we had a pretty big discussion about should we really go through Colossians? Is the Holy Spirit really having us go through this? Because I told my wife, I'm like, all right, I just want you to know I'm not against going through Colossians, but when we get to chapter 3, it could get really interesting. I mean, we had that conversation, and she was like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, in chapter 3, in verse 18, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not become bitter against them. And then it goes on talking about children obeying their parents and things like that. And I'm like, this could get pretty dicey, you know, it's not a matter of saying, oh my gosh, my wife and I, so terrible. But it's a thing of, this can get pretty ouchy. Is that fair?
Oh, that's very fair.
Okay.
And no, as we're going through this interview and the things that I share, I'm stepping on my own toes. Because
yeah.
Like I said, it's a daily walk, and, you know, do we have it perfect? No, but we're open to learning. And I think that's really something that we need to convey today to folks.
Oh, absolutely. And so with that being said, friends, Missy and I, we're just going to have a nice little conversation here, I hope,
yeah.
And just kind of dig into, you know, what we were kind of sharing. And, you know, Missy, what I am so encouraged is, you know, again, well, obviously, friends, you can tell I am a man, Missy's a woman, and she has her view of looking at this and how God has worked in and through her life. And I have mine, of course. But Missy, what has the Holy Spirit been showing you through this?
Well, one of the things, if I could preface, Jason, is,
sure.
and just going back just a second, so I didn't realize, I knew you were having a Bible study at your
yeah,
home,
yeah.
But I didn't realize about the whole Colossians 3:18, and so I walk in here today, and I'm like, this is the scripture that God has just really been dealing with me on,
right.
Colossians 3:18. I promise you, friend, I didn't know any of that.
That's so great.
But the one thing that I want to begin with is... Early on, I would say about the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
So 3 years into the marriage, Chuck and I were trying to get it right according to Scripture.
Right.
And my mindset at that time was I always thought that submission meant to keep my mouth shut and to never give my opinion. So in doing that, I learned the art of avoidance.
Mm.
So I own that. Because I played a big role in the issues we were having because I didn't understand what scripturally submission meant.
Right. You know, as we get started here, I just so appreciate you sharing that because I think, and this isn't just, you know, a wife issue. I think it's just a human issue. This, you said the art of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, that... You need to write a book, okay? What a great title for a book, The Art of Avoidance. Yeah, I think that's unfortunately probably just the human condition.
Well, the other thing, Jason, the flip side of that.
Yes.
A lot of times when we're in that place, we hear voices, which are lies from
yes.
the enemy, that tell us things are always going to be this way, things are never going to change. And so it became a cycle with me. Each time I would hear that, then I would avoid the next conversation and the next conversation and the next conversation. And kind of the motto in our home, and it was, we were actually unified in this point,
wow.
of, well, I just need to, I need to keep the peace. But what I'm learning is that God doesn't call us to keep the peace. He calls us to be peacemakers.
Very good. How do you see that as different?
Well, when I was trying to keep the peace, mm-hmm. I avoided. When an issue arose, I avoided. I was in my mind, and I was actually studying. That's the whole thing, friends, as Christians. I think we really need to get a hold of this. I think we really have to get a hold of this, especially in this time that we're in. because as I was learning and being taught, I was actually being taught this, to keep my mouth shut and to avoid. My husband was learning the other side of being the authoritarian, and I willingly, like I said, I own this because, ladies, we have to do this. Submission is a choice. Is that I became a doormat. So we were partnering, but it definitely wasn't a partnership that God wanted for our marriage. Mm. You know, he's hearing these voices of I'm the man, I'm the boss. You do as I say, not as I do. And I'm sitting over here having all these thoughts and feelings and just hearing the lies of the enemy. And I was internalizing it the whole time, but instead of speaking out, because friends, we know that there's power in the telling. Instead of speaking out, I clammed up, I stuffed. I mean, this, maybe I should write a book, because this led to a whole lot of other issues in my life. Mm-hmm. And it all centered around avoidance.
So you were saying that you wanted to, quote unquote, I think you said keep the peace, mm-hmm. but we're really to be peacemakers.
Makers, right.
So, okay, now let's look at the solution, okay, of a peace. What does a peacemaker then look like instead of the avoider?
Well, now a peacemaker looks like to me is having a conversation with my husband, an open dialogue where it's not about being right. It's not about proving my point. It's more important that we are trying to actually come into agreement for a solution, and we come to that those solutions together. Not one person over here, one on the other side, and each person thinks their way is the only way or their way is the only right way. Mm-hmm. Now we're coming together, and now because we've walked a little longer in the Lord, now we're actually turning to Scripture instead of man and man's opinion of what it looks like to bring peace. You know, when we're making peace, it's not always giving into the other person just so that we can avoid a fight or an argument or other things that come with that. I hope that makes sense.
That is so good. And yes, absolutely. Because I think, unfortunately, and I don't know if this is just something we've been taught, something we've just heard from the enemy, but unfortunately, too many people today, you know, even including myself at times, we think peace and being a peacemaker means I stay away from conflict altogether.
Right.
And that is not scriptural. In and through conflict, in and through struggle, we learn to have peace with God and with our neighbor, with our husband, with our wife. We learn to have peace in and through the struggle, because this world is full of struggle, right?
Every day.
Unfortunately. I mean, yeah. Jesus tells us mm-hmm. we will have trouble. So it's learning how to be a peacemaker in and through the struggle. Does that make sense to you?
It makes absolute sense. And I'm not sure if you even want to get to this point yet.
Oh, I love
it. But there was one, I don't even know how to describe it, game changer, if you will.
Yeah.
Light bulb moment.
Good.
Holy Spirit definitely inspired.
Yes.
And you may hear me say this a couple of times because it has just really made the difference. Before I could do any of these things that we're talking about, Jason, and before I could just really concentrate on not honoring my husband, but the Lord and glorifying him.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I could not learn to submit to my husband, and I'm still learning this, okay, until I learned to surrender my husband. Mm. Not surrender to him, but surrender him to the Lord. You have to understand, I pray daily, God, change him. Change him. It was a daily prayer. Once Holy Spirit put this on my heart, I stopped asking God to change him.
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And asked him to change me.
Taking responsibility and saying, okay, because the truth of the matter is, we're not God. We can't change anybody.
Right, but here's the really cool part about that, Jason.
Yes.
Once I said, okay, God, I'm laying him at your feet. All these things that I was praying, God, change this, change that. Chuck automatically started doing those things.
Right.
Only God can do that.
So I'm gonna ask you a question here, and you maybe fill in the blanks for us here, fill in, you know, between the lines. So in Ephesians, we see in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, and so then it goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of what he is the Savior. Okay, now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And then it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So it sounds like you basically were saying, okay, I am giving Chuck over to you, Lord God.
Yes.
And I'm asking that you teach him to submit to you, not submit to me.
That's right. And in doing so, I don't, you know what, and it no longer became important that I was right all the time. It led into a desire then to please my husband. And as I'm doing that, I'm pleasing God.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's, you know, when we hear these terms, submit, I mean, it basically that's, you know, give up your rights. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, again, those who tune into my program, you know, I'm all about us being responsible individuals, and we do have rights. But when we give them up to Christ is when things really begin to happen. And just, it opens your heart, it opens your mind. And yes, friends, so I encourage you, go check out Colossians 3:18, and then go take a look at Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21. And with Chuck, I just want to ask you too. So you decided, okay, I'm giving him over to the Lord, and I'm going to stop saying, change him.
And stop taking him back. Because okay. For a couple of years, I would hand him over to God, and then something would happen. We'd have a disagreement, and then I would try to take it back.
Okay. So you're saying this is a process.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're still in process, 24 years later. But here's the amazing thing. So I shared with you what God was showing me, and I'm going to speak on his behalf because he's not here with his permission.
Yeah.
What God spoke to him is exactly what you just said. In Ephesians, it says, husbands are instructed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And then it was like one day Holy Spirit said to him, Chuck, Christ died for the church.
Totally gave himself up
for the church.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like once I was willing to die of self, I guess, in this area, then that's when we really both started. And Chuck didn't even know I was praying these prayers, any of them. It seemed like then that's when God really came in, and he was working on both of us individually, but then collectively.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's just encouraging. And I want to go here if it's okay. If it's not, you just say, Jason, I don't want to talk about that. But I've heard a number of wives, whether it's through my wife talking to me about things she's talked about with others, or just a wife talking to me about her own husband, about the struggles she's had, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, in and through my wife and I talking to them, whether it's counseling or whatever. And many times I hear this from a wife of, I'm not going to submit until he starts loving me like Christ loves the church. In your mind, or maybe through scripture, what do you think of that? As far as, is that a good idea for wives to basically, you know, plant their flag there and say, not until will I? Where do you land on that?
Well, as you're sharing that, I immediately went back to the year of 2002 when I came across the scripture in the Bible, and I can't tell you where it's at, but okay. I can just tell you what I gleaned from
sure.
it, was that my husband wasn't a believer yet. So, you know, that opens up a whole nother issue, okay?
Right.
And so I was digging my heels in. But there's a scripture that talks about wives, you know, even, you know, if you're married to an unbelieving husband, you keep praying for him.
Yeah.
and you know, I was declaring the word and speaking the word over him, and then he gave his heart to the Lord, and but I think that it's our responsibility, and I hope I'm answering your question. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility as wives to be praying for our husbands constantly. As husbands, guys, you have such a responsibility. If you're actually leading your home, like the Bible talks about, as wives, we have to be praying for you constantly and interceding for you. And I think, again, our whole mindset changes when we stop worrying so much about being right and upholding you as the leader, because the Bible says that we're to pray for all of our leaders. Mm. So to answer your question, in my opinion, that, you know, I wouldn't go there, because I spent years doing that, and it got us, you know where it got us? It got us, I had filed for divorce. I had thoughts of suicide because, again, I was hearing it's never going to change. It's always going to be this way.
That hearing lies from the enemy.
All of it lies.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, again, friends, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. Do appreciate you taking time to tune in to the program. Sitting down here with Missy Hightower. She's the general manager at New Vision FM. You can find out more about the ministry at newvision.fm. That's newvision.fm. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Again, Missy and I are just kind of sitting down, having a conversation. Not just about the roles of husbands and wives per se, but also just, you know, what is our relationship with God? What does that need to look like? And how, you know, in Ephesians, Missy, it talks about, again, it says that we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when you hear that, because a lot of wives I know, and I've had the conversations, and they're like, see, my husband needs to submit to me too. Well, yes, but there still is an order to how God did it. And I bring that up because really, ultimately, God is the one who should be in charge.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
And that's really difficult. And I had, at that Bible study at the beginning of the program, we had someone who actually came to the Bible study and just really opened, well, my eyes, I think some other people's eyes, of helping us to see the roles of husband and wives just a little bit better. And she had talked about how really who has kind of, if you will, like the power card. And I was kind of like, well, the husband, you know, hey, we're the ones that are in charge. And she's like, well, think about it of how the church is with Christ and how you are with Christ. Because really, Christ doesn't do anything until you're willing to basically submit and say, okay, I'm going to submit to you and do your thing. So her point was really the wife really holds the power card, because if she's willing to go, fine, I'm going to give it up, I'm going to submit, then her husband can start becoming the man of God he's called to be, which then in turn helps her to become the woman of God she's called to be. You got anything you want to add to that?
Well, as you're sharing that, I'm just thinking about how, like what I shared earlier, when I started praying a certain kind of way for Chuck and just saying, God, I just give him to you, and I'm going to leave him at your feet. And it all came down to trust. I just heard, you know, I just felt like God was saying, either you trust me or you don't. And, you know, he says in Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for good.
Right.
To those who love him and who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
Not our purpose.
Right. Totally. And that's huge. And unfortunately, too many people take that scripture and they just go, God works all things together for the good. No, that's not what it says. God works all things together for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So again, it comes back to that.
Yeah.
Surrendering. Right?
Right. And when you say, what does, you know, submission, what does that look like to you? I automatically hear, or you know, surrender, because that's what it took for me.
Yeah.
And it still does. I mean, I have to, you know, I love the scripture that says that we're to die to self daily, because I really feel like that scripture and this whole testimony go hand in hand, because I have to die to self daily. I'm in my car some mornings coming to work, and I'm really praying, God, help me die to self today, because, you know, you called me to do this, this, and this, and I can't do any of it without you.
Absolutely. As we wrap up here, Missy, if you were sitting down with someone who's a wife and they came to you and they were struggling and they were saying, I'm just done. Hmm. What's one thing you might say to them just to encourage them in their marriage?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't quit. And anything that you're hearing in your mind that's contrary to the Word of God, because I'm assuming that you're in the Word of God, it's a lie from the enemy. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to do all of those things to your marriage. I would tell you, I would encourage you to find someone that you trust who is, you know, trying to walk, live in the Word, and have someone that you can actually talk to. Don't be an avoider. Talk about the hard things, the painful things, because ultimately all things are going to work together for your good. Mm. And, you know, you have a voice. Use it. You're not to be a doormat. But please, please keep praying for your husband. Pray for him. Encourage him. Use words of affirmation. If you don't know about the five love languages, I would encourage you to learn about the five love languages. That has been huge in our life, because then you learn how to communicate with each other, not only to express love, but to receive it and to give it. And just pray. Pray a lot.
Absolutely. With that, friends, you go out and make today great. Missy, thanks again for being
Thank
with us.
Thank you so much.
God bless everyone.
You don't know me now, you don't know me now. I'm not a pushover, I'm not a pushover. You don't know me now, you don't know me now. I'm not a pushover.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.